Good morning, church. Good to have you all here today. We're continuing our series entitled Christmas at the Movies. I had someone tell me they were downtown Fort Wayne last night and saw this on the sign at a Methodist church building, and no, I did not collaborate with the Methodist church on this. So, Christmas at the Movies. And last week we looked at A Christmas Story. This week, we're going to look at Home Alone. Home Alone is a story of an 8-year-old Kevin McAllister who lives with his family in Chicago. So I'm going to need I got a few Kevins that are going to help me out here this morning. They would come up on stage here. All right, you're going to stand right up here so everybody can see you. Stand up there on there you go. All right, now here, let's get this out of the way. Okay, there's a few of our Kevins. Anyway, so if you remember the story, for Christmas, the family is taking a vacation to Europe. And as all the relatives show up, there's a lot of confusion in the house. And Kevin, being in that in-between age where he's neither cute nor mature, that caused a lot of trouble. The next morning arrives, and everyone wakes up late. In all the hustle and bustle of trying to get out the door and make it to the airport on time, Kevin is forgotten. All the while, the parents think Kevin is with them, hanging out with his cousins, and Kevin wakes up to find that he is the only one at home. So now he is home alone with the full run of the house. He eats all the junk food he wants. He doesn't have to answer to anyone. He can do whatever he wants. He can watch whatever he wants to watch on TV and go into his brother's room and snoop around all he wants. He can play anything that he wants, and nobody is there to tell him, no, you can't do that. Kevin's life begins to have added excitement when two crooks, Harry and Marv, are robbing houses in the neighborhood. As most families are away on vacation, they target Kevin's house next. In the movie, we laugh hysterically as Kevin successfully sets up booby traps, which capture the crooks. But as the success of his antics come to an end, he discovers that he still has a problem. Being alone is not what he thought it would be. His freedom has brought on problems that are worse. He's actually lonely. And now he's sorry that he wished his family was away. He wished his family away and wants them to come back. So our Kevins, what would you do if you found out you were left at home all alone? All right, you guys can go be seated. Thank you very much, Kevins. In rehearsal, they were way louder. I will say this, I was a little worried because Noah was like, yeah, but I'm going to do this and this and this and this, and then I'll do this. And I was like, this is your church acting debut. Don't mess it up. You may never be asked again. I was just fortunate he didn't do his lamp impression for us. Anyway, another movie, as we discussed last week. So as we look at these things, and I hope the idea that we have here and what we want to look at from these movies, and we see these things that take place, is that in behind all the humor and all the fun, that there is still a serious message that is brought. And I believe that serious message also carries over to us in the church many times. There was many ways I wanted to go with this. Obviously, Hebrews 10:25 of forsaking the assemblies. And, you know, there are many Christians, I don't know how they come to this realization or conclusion in their own mind, but want to stay home from church. And we love our church family and want to be here. I hope that's the case that you have. So what we're going to do is just take some of the, maybe some of the scenes and the incidents that take place here at the in the Home Alone movie. And hopefully you understand where we're applying those to church thoughts. The very first one that we have here this morning, if you know anything how the first 15 minutes of that movie starts out, is that there is major craziness in the family. There is major craziness in the family, right? I already see some of you pointing at yourself and your own. Yes, you have craziness of the family. Well, I'm going to let you know, you may have craziness in your own physical family, but there is craziness in the church family, amen? Everybody take your head and go like this, amen? All right, because you're all a part of a nuts organization, okay? And we're going to look at that. But when we see this, the craziness of family and what that is, so imagine Joseph and Mary just being betrothed to each other, in Luke chapter 2 there we see events that are going to take place that, you know, when you got married, you didn't have to go down somewhere or to another town and register. And to boot with this, they're finding out, you know, that on the way she is with child. We know that. And it's come time to where she's not only with child, that baby's coming. And so there's some craziness that takes place there. Because of Joseph's family line, he needed to go to Bethlehem to register with his new family. And this was the beginning of craziness as we see it. Or many times as we see and think of craziness, it's just God's plan working out. And I want for us to consider that. It's God's plan coming into view as he sees it. We may not always see it at first. There may be times we never even see it or recognize it this side of heaven. But God is in control. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and then verses 3 through 5. Now in those days the decrees went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken with all that in all the inhabited earth. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And so as we talk about this craziness of family, and we talk especially of church family, someone has once said that, you know, life would be fun and great if you didn't have to engage with people. And do we see that sometimes? But that's also what makes life interesting. And even though we're all nuts, we love each and every one of you. And I pray that me being probably the biggest nut of you all, that you pray for me as well. And as we continue to think of this and the craziness of family, and especially sometimes how that intensifies around the holidays, and maybe why that is because what do you do during the holidays that sometimes you don't do all the other times? You start hanging out with family, right? And then that brings the craziness of the situation. And yes, everybody, if you look around your family and you don't know who the cousin Eddie is, then you might be the cousin Eddie. Okay? Just saying. That's in a movie all of its own. Oh, I just got some finger pointing going on there. But anyway, so we've got the craziness of family. The second thing we want to think of as we look through this movie, and the whole basis of this movie is this robbery that's taken place. And so as we think of this season and we see it as the gift-giving season, I think that there is also something to learn from this movie is there is a lot of robbery that takes place by the secular world. And so as we see that, then it leads us to understand how the wet bandits were out to do their job. And I'll say this, don't let stress steal your joy. Don't let stress steal your joy. And as we look at this, you know, and there's some of the great scenes that if you want to laugh, you just pull up Marvin Harry clips and you watch those. I mean, you know, how funny is it for a guy to get a scalding hot iron to the face, right? You Christians are sadistic. Okay? But so as we look at that and we see that, you know what I'm talking about, and it's funny, and just as the movie is, the Wet Bandits rob many of the families of their treasures and their precious belongings, I think that so too we get robbed of the preciousness and the seriousness and of the season. And yes, as we discussed last week, we know that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. And all of that. But yet it still is a time that the whole world, in a roundabout way, sets aside to remember the birth of Jesus Christ. And don't let that get stolen or taken from us. It reminds me of the words of Mary, and we looked at this last week in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, when it says that Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And you know, and we're obviously in a different stage of our life. When I say that, Tam and I, than we used to be. We no longer have the little boys that come down the staircase that want to open those presents on Christmas morning. Actually, we've just got boys that come over now that are like, "Where's the food?" It's a different thing. But I think that as we stop and we think back, and some of you that have the young ones, consider those moments precious that you have as they roll out of bed in the morning and want to open those presents and want to get you up. I mean, you know, it's a school day and you can't get them up at 7 o'clock. But yet Christmas morning, it's like 5 o'clock, and they want to open all the presents and get up and everything. And, you know, this is a good learning time for them to, go back to bed. Treasure these moments. Ponder them in your heart. Take them with you. It's so neat this time of year when you hear different families with different traditions that they may do. And you may think it's a crazy one, but to them, they look forward to it all year long of when that can happen. And so as we think of that, it's important for us to not let the time of the season, or even those around us, the wet bandits of our life, steal our joy. And so many times I think we can let that happen. As was shared in our opening this morning, fine job, by the way, Isaac. We were told to tell you that in our class. So, we already expressed that to you. Just sharing it again. But you did a good job. And it's never a wrong time for us to be thankful. And as he said, you know, so yeah, it's been over for a few weeks, but hopefully we're still thankful. You know, that series of thankful people wasn't just for the month of November. And as the calendar turned, oh good, I don't have to be thankful anymore. No, that's not what it's about. But we have so much to treasure in our hearts. Those of us have raised families, have grown up, and those to have your children in the church, that's something to be extremely thankful for. To consider to be very blessed. And we put that in there of don't let stress steal your joy, because I do think at this time of year we do a better job than most other times maybe of remembering what that word joy, especially to the Christian, should mean, is to keep who first? Jesus. Others second, yourself last. So there is much joy to be had, and you'll find out how much that joy is intensified or amplified in your life when you put Jesus first. And you do that and set that example and leave that example to follow. Don't let the world get us down. This is also, as we say, one of the times of year that people find most exciting. But you know, there's also a group of people that also find this time most hard to deal with, because they've lost their joy. They've let the world steal things from them. Sometimes, not all the time, it may just be due to unfortunate circumstances that have taken place in your life. But I will say this, I've found many times, if it's in my own life, maybe you found the same way, that if your life isn't in line in accordance with God's plan, then you probably have some sin in your way. And we know this time of year we talk about how Jesus came to this earth to be the Savior of the world. Well, don't forget, for Him to be our Savior, we have to eliminate and dispose of that sin that's in our life. And yes, He wants to be a Savior to all, but the world wants to get us down. Sin will get you down. And ultimately, first and foremost, Satan will do his best to steal your joy. So don't let the world, don't let sin, and don't let Satan take the joy of Jesus away from you this holiday season. And remember, as Mary did, to ponder these moments, to consider this time that you have, for those are the things that really matter. Also, we find out as Kevin goes through his holiday away from his parents, that he finds out that it's not about the presents, it's really about their presence. It's not about what you find under the tree. It's not what you find in your stocking or however you may celebrate this time of year. It's not about the presents. It is about the presence. Being alone with many gifts and presents is not near as fun as being home with your loved one's presence. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11 said this. We looked at this last week as well, and it says, after coming into the house, this is referring to the Magi, after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. And right away, I know you say, right there, it's talking about gifts, it's talking about presents, it even names them off of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But those were all secondary in this verse. What was first? The Magi being with the Savior of the world and worshiping Him. The rest of it was all secondary. They had finally found who they were looking for. And it may have been at summer camp this year when you found who you were looking for. It may have been clear back in the spring revival that you found who you were looking for. But the important thing is now, church, that it's not about physical presents that are given, but about the opportunity we have to spend our presence together in the presence of the Lord. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. As we looked last week with the gift of the Holy Spirit, when you come up out of the watery grave of baptism, you were immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? That's with you all the time. We never have to be alone. We never have to be by ourselves. So it's not about the presence, it's about the presence of being together. It's about the presence that we have of sharing the commonality we have in Jesus Christ. But most importantly, it's about sharing with Jesus Christ. We many times will see this time of year, as I shared at Thanksgiving time, a story about a lady that would skip church to stay home to fix the Thanksgiving meal or the Christmas meal. Aren't we missing out on what the presence is when we do that? And so don't go around trying to justify in your mind, oh, well, I'll not be here because we're going to be doing this. You know, again, that's you trying to make sense of what God has already told us. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as we talked in Hebrews 10 from the beginning. As we learned last week, these gifts were great gifts. They were quite symbolic gifts, and they were even helpful gifts. However, this time, it's about our being in the presence of our Lord and not being home alone. And the whole main premise for the movie, the whole basis for this movie, is that the family was in such a hurry to celebrate that they forgot about Kevin. Right? They forgot about Kevin. I'm here to let you know this morning, don't get so caught up in what's taking place this month that you get in such a hurry that you forget about Jesus. Don't forget about Jesus. We'll always be scratching our head thinking, well, there's something I'm forgetting this time of year. We got a gift for this person. We got this for that. We got this for them. We got this for them. Don't get so caught up that we forget about Jesus. It's really important that we remember that. We say that that happens in the religious world, or we say that that happens in the secular world to those who don't have Jesus in the right place. Oh, be careful. Many times it's Christians that forget. We forget during the hustle and the bustle of our Christmas time. We forget about Jesus. I've even seen where congregations will cancel services on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day so that you can be with your family. Oh, the irony. Right? That you cancel your time to be with Jesus during this special time. Came across this story about a woman who had been wandering around in the streets for 8 years. She was homeless. She had become homeless. After a painful divorce 8 years prior, Alice Purley just snapped. She had come off a commercial airline flight in Nashville, Tennessee, at the airport, and she just walked out, left all her luggage. She began living in the woods. She began living on the streets. She went from shelter to shelter. And after 8 years, she met a man on the street that tried to help her out with food and money, but she refused. However, she saw a patch on his jacket. A patch on the jacket of a local brokerage firm in Nashville. She had remembered that she had had stocks with that company. After insisting that she needed no help, she needed no help as far as food or money. She just wanted help to get back home. The man took her back to the office, looked up her portfolio, found that and confirmed that she did have stock with them. In the story, though, it said it would not reveal how much stock she had. So I don't know what that meant. But anyway, because I know people are going to ask, how much stock did she have? I don't know. But anyway, they did find out where she was from. She had stock with them, that she had been missing for 8 years, and despite an exhaustive search by her family, they had not been able to find her. But a spokesperson for the firm commented, "Well, isn't that what Christmas is really all about? All he was really trying to do was help out somebody who was in need." And he ultimately helped her find her way home. He says, we're supposed to remember each other this time of the year and not just walk on by, aren't we? Her brother came and picked her up a couple days later, and they had a very happy reunion come Christmas time. The reality of the reunion was met with much great joy and celebration. You know, Jesus Christ came to this world to bring it about so that we all could have a family reunion one day. So that we would have a time of being reunited with those ones that have been separated. This is looking at it from the eyes of God, that he has made this possible through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we can be united with him and be reunited for great joy and celebration because of what Jesus has done for us. The great God and Father of heaven sent his one and only Son to this world so that mankind could have a reunion with their Creator. You see, sin had caused the separation. So what completes a gift? What completes a gift? We talked about good and great gifts last week. Well, what completes a gift? What makes a gift great? If it's accepted. So have you accepted God's gift of Jesus? Have you accepted God's gift of salvation? Jesus, salvation. They are all made readily available to us if we are obedient to him. The only thing that keeps you from being reunited with the Father is if you choose to be left at home alone. Let's choose to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture. Starts with John 8:24, of believing who Jesus is and that he is the Son of God. And therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe I am he, you will die in your sins. But you need to repent. Luke 13:3. That yes, it is about coming to him, but it's about our repentance, putting that sin behind us. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. That we let the world know who Jesus is. If we confess him before men, then he will also confess us before our Father who is in heaven. To be immersed into Jesus Christ, Mark 16:16, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, and he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And then to be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. We all like the antics of the little Kevin running around, hurting the big bad wet bandits. But you know, that's what Satan wants for us to fall into, is that it's all just a big game. Take the seriousness of it. Understand we don't have to be alone. We don't have to be discouraged. We can come to Jesus, the author, the giver of life, and live for him each and every day. Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song of invitation?